All right, turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians. I'm reading a couple places this evening. Glad to see everybody here that's visiting the church. I've had a couple of people tell me since that I've been in Berksville pastoring, trying to start the church. The complaint that they have, which is a good complaint, I'd take it every time. I'm sure that if they knew, they would have more to complain about, if they knew me better. But I've had some people say, why can't you preach about some of these other things that other preachers preach about? All you want to talk about is Jesus and God. And my reply is, I didn't know that there was anything different to preach about. Anytime that a church or a preaching message, any organization that is working for the Lord is anything about something other than Christ, it's on the wrong road. It's on the wrong path. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything that is done should be done in the name of the Lord. If it's not worth doing in the name of the Lord, then it's not worth doing, is it? That would really solve a lot of these petty issues that people have with problems in the church, I think, if they would just line everything up around Jesus. Colossians chapter number 1. Let me start reading at verse 16. It said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That answered it right there, didn't it? And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Here's a big contingency. If ye continue in the faith. Now, boy, that's a big one right there, isn't it? Now, I don't know what in the world that people that teach and preach, once that you get saved, that you're always going to be saved no matter what, can do with that verse there. You have to, when you're presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, the only way that you can do that is if you continue in the faith. Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That's all I'll read there. I know that that's kind of right in the middle portion of that scripture, but I want you to turn with me now to the book of Revelation, if you would. Revelation chapter 19. I told Annie the other day, we've done a lot of talking. He's done most of it. I've done most of the listening. I've had to. But I did get a word in edgewise, and I told him the other day that I know I've preached some of these, I've used some of these sermons, the text of these sermons, probably several times, and some of them we ought to be well practiced on, but I've never preached one the same, it seems like. But I'm not afraid to read the same scripture. If the Lord laid things on my heart, back-to-back nights, I wouldn't mind doing that if the Lord was in it. But I'm sure that I've used this text this evening that I'm going to preach to you, but I want you to look at chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. And again, let's start in the middle just to save some time. And let's start at verse number 9. Revelation 19 and 9 says, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." That's all that we're going to read. And to get right into the sermon tonight, I'd like to go back and talk about the verses that we read in Colossians in a few minutes, maybe, if the Lord would lead that way. Because I really think it has to do with the subject that I want to talk about. If you look in the middle of verse number 12, it describes just a portion of Christ, but this thought, again, here I am. I love preaching about the Lord. I really do. I love talking about Him, and the more I can see of Him, the more excited that I get. Because I love to for the Lord to be able to reveal some things to us, and for us to be able to see Him is just a magnificent thing. It really is. Means the Lord is not done yet with His people. If God continues to send messages through God-called preachers, that means that there's still hope for people to be saved. Now, I really believe that the true Word of God coming from a God-called preacher, and I've got to be careful because I don't want to pat myself on the back. I think it's on short demand today. There, not everybody, and I know you all understand this, I think you do, and you know this, not everybody that tucks a Bible under their arm calls themselves a preacher is a preacher. And just to sound as harsh, I guess, as I've sounded all week, I think that there's a lot of men that have been called that their parents have probably called them. Their grandmas and grandpas have probably called them. They've probably been pampered to the point that they've been told so often that they would make a good minister that they started ministering. Now, you know, the last thing I'd do is just question anyone's calling. People know whether they're called of God or not, or at least I hope they do. But it is a calling. Gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Paul said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Every God-called man that I've ever talked to went through the same thing of resisting the call because they did not feel as if that's what they needed to do. Now, there's been a lot of them that have came along that they wanted to do that. Now, I got to doubt whether or not that the Lord was really in that. Now, that's just my opinion. So let's look at the Lord, if we could. Middle of that verse 12 says, "And on his head were many crowns." And I want you to think about this, and there's three crowns in particular that I'd like to talk about. But before that I get into those three crowns, I'd like to talk about that head that these crowns were set upon. And then if I could, by the end of the message, I hope that the Lord will lead me to preach about these the victories that produce these crowns. Now I want you to think about that. He had some great victories, didn't he? And if I can just touch on those victories, the handful that I feel like are the touchstone of our salvation, it gets exciting to me. So I've got to be real careful and not get too quickly with my thoughts. But first, just a history of a look at that head, the little baby that was born, that infant child that was laid in a manger, in Bethlehem's manger, and how that little boy that I'm sure that Mary coddled and that she raised and that she nourished, and that it, as he got a little older, that same little head that worked in Joseph's carpentry shop, I believe he did, I believe he was, the Bible said that he was subject to his parents. And then if you fast forward time just a little bit farther down the road, that same head that Mary caressed, that Joseph tried to teach, the carpentry skill, they was forcing a crown of thorns down on its that same head. And I know it's the Easter season, and it's hard for me to keep from being emotional when I think about the Lord and what that they did to him. I don't think that we can see movies and that we can even realize the gruesomeness of what that they actually done to our Lord. But that same head, the Bible said that it was marred, his visage was marred more than any man. With his stripes were healed, but they abused that sacred and holy head that these crowns set upon. And that head that I think come out of the ground on the third morning, he had won some of his victories already. And the crowns, I hear people say a lot of times in songs, when we get to heaven, we'll crown him King of Kings. We won't do that. That's already been done. But the first crown that I want to talk about is the crown of the dominion. His domain. Where is Christ's domain? I read it to you over there in the book of Colossians. The Bible said that by him were all things created or made. Without him, there wasn't anything made. They were not only created by him, but Paul said that they were created for him. He is the King of heaven. Oh, if we could see him pictured there. The Bible pictures him like this, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. There was an instance whenever that we saw him standing at the right hand of the throne of God when the old martyr Stephen was giving up his last breath. And the Bible said that he looked up into heaven steadfast and said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And he went on asleep. Boy, isn't that beautiful? So he owns heaven. The Bible said that the very city that Abraham looked for, whose builder and maker is God. Yeah, that's that city. He owns that. He's there, and there's. He said that he could call, what was it, 12 legions of angels. I think that was just a little platoon in that great army, that innumerable company of angels that I talked to you about the other night. But they're all there in heaven right now at this very minute. And he's the center of attention in heaven. Did you know that? Yeah, he's the focal point. Without him, there would be no heaven. He's the very center. He's the hub. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel that Ezekiel saw when he saw it going on the earth. They fly around in heaven saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But he wears that crown of heaven, and the next crown that he wears is the crown of hell. Did you know he owns hell too? Oh, the Bible said he had a great chain on that old dragon, and that dragon doesn't get very far until he yokes him back. And just like a dog on a chain, the devil can't do one thing except the Lord lets him. Oh, what a powerful Savior. Sometimes we act like that the devil is just running loose and free. And we might think of him that way because of how wicked that this world is. But he can't do one thing except the Lord Jesus Christ lets him. Do you remember the subject when he come to Job? And the Bible said that the devil came with... The devil can't tell a lie to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know it? Where have you been, Satan? I've been going to and fro, up and down in the earth. I'd say he had been causing havoc and creating a wreck just about everywhere. I would say everywhere that he had went. And he had to tell the Lord that. And the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job? An upright man, the one that escheweth evil, one that fears God." And he says he fears God for naught. "Touch him and he'll curse you to your face." And the Lord said, "All right, I know my servants." Do you know that God knows you? Do you know that if you ever excel to the point to where that God says, "Go ahead, devil, and see what you can do with them. I'll promise you they're not going to turn their back on me." Has God ever done that to any of us? Boy, that's close, isn't it? Yeah, where does that put us in the scale or in the balance of life or even in the eyes of God? What does God really think about us? We don't put much thought into that, do we? We act like that God, we're doing God a favor just because we show up for a revival meeting or on Sunday morning for service. We've not done God any favors. But the Bible said that the devil touched Job, but he couldn't kill him. He put that border around Job that he couldn't kill him. He yanked the old chain of the devil and said, "That's as far as you can go. You're not going to go any further than that. Here's some great hope. You're not going to leave this world until the Lord gets ready for you to leave." Did you know that? Yeah. Oh, you know, they talk all the time about that there is no hell and that it's just a state of mind. I want to tell you something, friend. There is a hell just as sure as I'm standing here tonight. Jesus himself said that the rich man lifted up his eyes being in torment in that place of lost souls where he said it like this, that their worm dieth not in that hell. I think it's the fiery, his eyes are with a flame of fire, Danny, that has vengeance on them that rejected him, that decided to go there, and he's still king of hell. Nothing is without his power. Nothing is done without his say-so. And I hear people say sometimes that God won't never send us to hell. He won't send us there, friend, but he'll allow you to go against all the things that he has done. I know people today that hate the church. They hate Christian people. They hate what we stand for. They hate who we are. They just as soon as cut your head off as look at you. They don't love the Lord, but that doesn't annul anything that the Lord will ever own in them. God still owns them. They'll never run too far. David said, "Where should I go from the presence of the Lord? If I take the wings of the morning, behold, thou art there. If I go down to the depths of hell, you're there." Christ has the dominion, the crown of hell he wears on his head. And he says, "I own this place. I own all that is there and all that's going there against my will, against all that I've chose to do in dying on a cross. I still own it." Yeah, he has ownership of it. The next thing that he owns, and he has a crown sitting on his head of the creation. He owns his creation still. Did you know that? There will not be a spring that will ever come about that he doesn't say, "All right, let there be spring." That's why that the flowers begin to bloom and it begins to warm up. That's why that the summer sun is going to bring the summertime and then the harvest will come. God set it in order like that, and he said, "This is my creation. I own it. I'm the king over it." He walked on the water. Somebody said, "I don't believe that. How in the world did he do that?" He owns it, friend. He can walk on whatever that he wants to walk on. The Bible said that one time he walked by a little fig tree and it didn't have anything but leaves on it. And he said that he condemned it. "Don't let anything grow on you hereafter." Such a little thing, Danny, but he owned it and he expected fruit. He expects fruit from us as well, doesn't he? Yeah, he owns the whales. He owns the grizzly bears. He owns the deer. I know some of you love to go and get, climb up in a nest and shoot at them. I know some of you love to bait a hook and go and catch the fish. But I'm telling you, he owns those too. He owns everything. The Bible said he owns cattle on 1,000 hills. My son called me this evening. He said, Dad, we've got disease in our cattle. I don't know what's going on, but they're dropping. And the only thing I could say is, well, they're the Lord's. But I don't know if the bank's going to take that answer. Yeah, he owns it all. He owns the creation. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing made. So he wears the crown of creation. It's all his by birthright. Everything that he has because he is the Son of God. Now let me go on just for a minute to how that he won these crowns. Somebody say, you do this backwards. No. Oh, listen, those crowns, it's obvious that he wears them, Rick. It's obvious that he has them, that he's obtained them by birthright. But he had the victory over some of these things that he earned. I thought about it, and it's a poor analogy, I know. But sometimes these girls get into beauty contests, and so, the so-called pretty one gets the crown. Oh, he had some victories, Danny. He had to fight. There were some things that he had to overcome when he came into this world. And the very first thing that he had to overcome was sin in the world. I tell you, friend, he had to overcome sin. Do you remember when that he went to the mountain? And the Bible said, and I've never really understood this, and I don't believe that it's something that we could just dwell on, but the devil led him up into the mountain. And when he got up there, the Bible said the devil began to tempt him. And he was just as man as what that you and I are. Don't you ever think that he was some type of angel, that he didn't feel everything that you and I feel. When he got hungry, his belly hurt. I tell you, when he had sharp pains in his knees from walking in those old sandals, don't you know he probably got blisters on his feet? He probably suffered from the heat the same way that you and I do. I think every physical pain that any of us have felt, he felt it, friend. He's our great high priest. He's went and absorbed all the feelings of our infirmities. He's the one that has felt it all. And the devil said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Don't you think he was probably hungry? But he said, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. So he overcome that. The Bible said he overcome when the devil tempted him to try to be the ruler of the world. I believe he looked up, Danny, and he said, I've already got that in the bag. I don't have to cast myself down to prove that I'm the Son of God. I know where that I descended from, and I know where I'm headed. Oh, it would do us all good to have that same concept in mind. I know that we can't derive our beginning from heaven, Jimmy. We were born in the flesh, and we lived in the flesh until that we believed the Son of God. But our ascension one of these days is going to be going up to heaven where He's at. My home is over yonder in the heaven that God and that His Son is the King of. So he had to battle sin. I want to tell you what we're going to have to do. If we ever have a crown in this life, we're going to have to overcome sin. We're going to have to overcome it. And the way you overcome it is you get out of it. You cease from it. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Do you believe that Jesus ever committed a little sin? Do you believe that he ever said a word that he shouldn't have said? What about the time, I've had this asked to me, what about the time that he went into the temple and he made a scourge of small cords and he saw the money changers and all the things that they were doing wrong, sinful in the temple, and I think he put it on their backs. I think he walked over and he took his foot up and he kicked the table over and the money spilled out, and I think the birds flew and the goats ran around and the sheep went blazing parading down through the hall of the temple, and I believe he began to whip them. I think people were so stunned, Jimmy, that they thought, who in the world is this madman? Yeah, I read about a man that a people that he looked at one time and said that he got angry at them because of the hardness and the disbelief of their heart. Oh, I tell you, friend, how whenever the Lord overcomes sin, he didn't take part of it. I think sometimes what we need to realize is there's some things that we think are sin that are not. And there's things that we partake of every day that are sinful behaviors and sinful thoughts that we have that we brush off as nothing. We better get in the book and we better get in the Word of God and find out what thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, earth, and hell, about what that sin really is. Because sin is what will cause us to die and go to hell. He overcome sin. He also overcome the world. He told the disciples, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Oh, that's where he won the victory. And that's why that he was able to wear the crown. I've overcome the world. The world tried to take him and make him a king. Oh, if that would have been a human being of the nature, not from heaven, they would have said, yeah, well, I'd take that job. I mean, you're talking about fringe benefits and things of luxury and style. And the Bible said they took him and tried to make him a king by force. But he slipped away through the crowd and said, no, while I'm here, I've got one purpose in mind, and that's to die on the cross. That's why he didn't argue with them. Whenever that they could have set him free, I think Pilate really had a debate. I think he debated with himself. I think he really wanted to turn him loose. And he tried to wash his hands and be clean of that. But Jesus wouldn't ever give him the opportunity to do it, Danny. He knew what he came into this world to do so that he could wear that crown. Yeah. So he overcome the world. And then the last, but certainly not least, is he overcome death. Oh, how did he overcome death, preacher? The Bible said that he said this about himself, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again. And I know that these people that this weekend will profess that this is just a superstition, that it really didn't happen. And I really believe that there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that don't really believe that Jesus was dead. But I want to tell you something, friend. He was just as dead as anybody in the cemetery today. He was just as lifeless, the Bible said. Do you really believe those Roman soldiers would have left a breath in his body? How they shoved the spear in his side? Had they made 100% certain that he was dead? Had they wrapped him in the grave clothes and they put him in a borrowed tomb? And people can believe up to that point, but there's a lot of people that get skeptical because of all the books that have been written, because of all the movies that have been made. Maybe there was somebody that come and stole his body. What do you all think? Maybe. I mean, is there a possibility? Could I convince you of it? If I could play the devil's advocate tonight, and if somebody were to walk in here and put a sword, big old Donnie's got one of them, I don't know where the boy comes up with things. He's got a big old 6-foot sword, look like. And I said, son, what in the world? Where did you get that thing? But if somebody had a hold of that sword, Danny, and said, we're going to cut your head off, are you sure that it's not a superstition? Do you really believe that an angel came and rolled the stone away? If you believe that, I'm going to cut your head off. Were you still going to believe that? Some of you got a little bit sheepish right then. I don't think he'll require that of us. Well, you just keep doing your own thinking. I'll tell you what, with the way these Muslims are acting, it could be a reality real soon to a lot of us. I'm telling you something, friend, we have been so passive for so long that we think all the church is about is coming down on Sunday morning, showing up at Easter and having an Easter egg hunt and having singings periodically, a revival every once in a while, and that's all there is to it. But your faith better run deeper than just in the preacher or in your church membership, it better be in the blood, in the life, in the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it shouldn't end there. It ought to go on with His resurrection, friend. That's where that it's all at. He overcome death. That's why I was telling Danny today, I didn't really realize how out of control that I really was until that my son was laying there. And I know, I hope you all don't think I'm beating a dead drum here, but he was laying there and I could not get any relief. I cried my eyes out, Jim. I don't want to put my son in a casket. I don't want to go to his funeral. Doggone it, God, please don't let this happen. And when they operated on him, we said our last goodbye. And I come to a conclusion. My tears dried up. I got hope in my heart. And I said, there's nothing. I absolutely have no power in this situation at all. God, if you save him, that's good. If you don't, I'm going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep serving you regardless. And sure, it'll break my heart. But my tears dried up. And my wife come to me and she said, you've got to do something. Hey, you've prayed for other people. It's our son now. Pray for him. I said, I'm satisfied that God is in control of this situation. And God can take care of it. Oh, praise be to God. God, I'll praise you from now on, because he brought him back. But here's the sad reality of it. One of these days, Kurt's going to die. Did you know that? One of these days, I'm going to die. One of these days, you're going to die. Homer, you're going to leave here one of these days. And sometimes I think we ought to be getting a little bit more anxious about leaving than we are staying. But it seems that so many people are so anxious to stay, they don't get ready to go. Why in the world aren't we ready to go? I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Are you ready this evening? I think each of us wear crowns. We get them, don't we? If I could talk to you just for a little bit about these crowns of thanksgiving. That's what we wear. See, I'm going to show you that even though we wear them temporarily, we're going to give them back here in just a minute. Yeah, but well, I tell you, these people that have done a lot better things and a lot bigger things than I've ever done and or ever can do, and I've thought about old Elijah. Don't you think he wore a crown, Danny, of victory? Oh, whenever he stood down there in front of 800 prophets and old Jezebel, I'm talking about as brave as the day is long. And he stood there and he said, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And God answered with fire. And then old Jezebel got after him and he ran. And then he went on and done some other good things. Don't you think old Elijah, God could say, boy, he's got a good crown of thanksgiving on his head. Don't you think old Daniel, with all the works that he did, how old Daniel from the lion's den, how that wouldn't refuse to go in the den of lions that could have ate him. He knew he could have been ate, just like I know that Kurt could have got gone. I know the reality of life. Death is a big part of it. We're going to leave one way or the other. I tell you, friend, it would behoove you and me to get ready for that moment. But Daniel, he had that old crown of thanksgiving on his head, didn't he? He came out of there and said, oh, King, live forever. I could think about Jeremiah, the old weeping prophet, how that stayed down in the dungeon, had to make a rope of rotted cloths to get him up out of that place, and he wouldn't yield to the king. Oh, I think he wears that crown. I've thought about old George Whitfield, and I'm going to name some names that probably is not real familiar, but old Whitfield, can't you see him, Danny, preaching on a stump? I tell you, I believe he'll have that crown too, and I think old Stearns, Shubal Stearns, that was buried down there in North Carolina, I believe he'll have that. And then there's other men, Billy Sunday, how that's come along. I could name off some more, Donnie Coffees, Roger Papa Wells, and then we come right on down. I believe Danny Bailey will be in that mix. I hope one of these days that old Homer gets his crown. I believe there'll be others that'll gather him up. What about yours? Are you going to have yours, and what's yours going to be for? Oh, I want to get mine. You better be selfish with this now. I want my crown. You say, is it going to be full of stars? I don't know nothing about that. Don't know what it's going to look like. I think it's something that when you get it, when you've got it, you know it. I think I could relate it to that little white stone that's got your new name in it that nobody else knows except you and the Lord. And when the Lord calls that name out one of these days, you're going to say, "Here am I, Lord." Oh, you ought to have that name, though. If you don't know what your name is yet, you can get it up here on the altar. You can get that crown of thanksgiving. But I want you to think about the martyrs. I want you to think about the infants, all those little babies that have suffered from this abortion that's taken our country by storm. All of those babies that they've aborted so gruesomely that half of the leaders of our country says it's all right to abort a child in an eighth month, a trimester of pregnancy, and they'll shove a metal rod in there and suck their brains out, and they'll deliver them from their mothers, and they'll say it's just to feed us, it's not a living soul. I think those little children will be right there around the throne of God, and I think they'll all have their crowns on. I think the ones that never got a chance at life, some of these little boys and girls that do get to come into the world, and their mommies are drug addicted and their daddies are alcoholics and abusive, some of them that have gone through a torment here, I believe when they leave this world, and they'll have a crown of thanksgiving, and they'll be standing around that throne. Oh, I wished everybody had been raised like that I was, Danny. But this world is a vicious, vicious place. Oh, and Jesus overcome it, and he said, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome it. You can too. You can overcome it. You can rise above it," just like that old Noah did when the flood of sin got up over the top of the highest mountain. Noah said, "I'm safe in the ark." How are you in the ark tonight? Oh, I tell you, friend, if you've got the crown of thanksgiving on, here's what happened whenever they all, old Elijah, can't you just see him showing up at heaven, walking down toward the throne, homeward to the judgment seat of Christ. I believe old Elijah got up there and he said, "Here, Lord, you gave me this for the things I done down there. I want to cast it back at you. You deserve it more than I do." I believe Daniel be right behind him and say, "Here, Lord, here's your crown." I tell you, I want to fall in line there somewhere and say, "Lord, you gave me great opportunities. You allowed me positions and time and circumstance. You saved my soul. Here's my crown. Let me cast it down before you." Ain't that what the analogy is with the 24 elders? Danny, oh, I believe it. How when they bowed down around the throne, and the Bible said they took their crowns and they cast them at his feet. You know why? Because he's the Savior that has many crowns. Oh, you can't count all the crowns that he's got. He's got these crowns, and he has won them rightfully. Not just won them, but they were his by birthright. Ain't you glad of that? I want to ask you tonight, while they come and get a song, do you know where your crown is at? Oh, have you got a crown? Have you, I could use another analogy for you. Have you got your wedding garment on? Is the wedding garment that you have the one that's been supplied from heaven, the garment of salvation? Have you ever got to the place to where that your heart beat out of your chest and you knew without a shadow of a doubt, I know people go to church every Sunday and they don't know nothing about this, Danny. Some preacher has stood up and they've told them, "Oh, you're going to be okay. All we need to do is take you down to the water hole and baptize you. All you need to do is put your tithe money in, put your name on the church roll, and you'll be fit to go to heaven." And they'll sit there under a message like tonight when God is dealing with people's hearts, and their heart will pound inside of them, and they'll say, "I don't know about this salvation. I've been baptized. I pay my tithes." Yeah, but have you ever been truly saved? Have you ever been really saved? Are you ready to wear that crown? Just that crown of thanksgiving. I don't deserve any other crown. I don't deserve a crown of heaven. I don't deserve a crown of hell. I don't deserve a crown of creation. He owns that. He paid for it with his blood. I didn't have the victory over death. Oh, I tell you, if I'd have died for your sins, it would have been vain and useless. I couldn't do that. I couldn't die for your sins. I couldn't die for the world. He's the only one, the Bible said, search was made through heaven. Who's going to look at the book, loose the seals thereof? And John said, I wept much because there was no man found. And then one came and touched me on the shoulder and said, weep not, John, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. What did he do? He overcome death, hell, and the grave to wear that crown. And all he's asking us to do is put that crown of thanksgiving on. Would you put it on tonight and wear it? Wear it and say, I'm a child of the King. You that are saved tonight, oh, you ought to encourage this in everybody you see. You ought to recognize, do you know who's got a crown on and who don't? See, when I was lost and I was there at the Aaron's Chapel Church, sitting under conviction, I thought, boy, I'd fit in just as, I look just like they do. I'm a human being. I've got eyes and ears, arms and legs, and I look just like they do. Surely I blend in. But you know what? Some of them old saints of God, they knowed I was missing my crown. I didn't have it. And you may think you can hide in the congregation of God, but everybody here knows that you don't have a crown on if you don't. And if that's not important to you, God himself knows that you don't have it on. What are you going to do if you have to face judgment? And God's going to say to you, where's your crown at? Where's it at? Or are you going to try to make some excuse? It won't work. It won't work. Excuses will not work in that day. The only thing that will work is that you've got it to present to him. If you don't have it, why don't you come and get it? Why don't you? It's as easy as the asking for. If you bow down and say, Lord, I want this. I want this experience. I want this crown. I want to be able to have it when I get there because, Lord, without it, I know you said I couldn't make it, so I want it. And then you've got to maintain it. Boy, I could preach another hour, I think. Would that be all right? I won't do that to you. You got to maintain it. I every once in a while, I like to protect mine. I want to make sure that I keep myself unspotted from this whole world. You say, preacher, do you ever sin? I'll tell you, every once in a while, there's anger issues that I have, my wife says. I've got jealousy issues. I've got some issues. I think they come by my natural birth. But see, you've got to fight that. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. You've got to wear that crown. If you want it tonight, it's here free for the taking. Jesus overcome so that you wouldn't have to overcome these things. The world, death. You don't have to. All you have to do is accept what he's done for you. Let's stand and sing.